Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Okay, that sounds better. Good morning, friends. This is the day the Lord has made, and in Michigan, man, we rejoice in these days because they don't come as often as we would like. Welcome to worship at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Welcome to our online folks as well. My name is Loretta Job. I'm a deacon that helps with pastoral care here at the church, along with doing stuff like this. This is a congregation, as you know, I'm testing you this morning. This congregation wants to
know God, love God, serve God.
Oh, you guys, too quiet over here. Good job. The other half of the choir. There you go. All right. There are connection cards inside your bulletin because we are a church that wants to know God and serve God. We want to know how we can help you be a part of all that goes on here. Connection cards. Let us know how we can help you get involved in all the things that happen around here. Also, where we might have a hole in our ministry and you might have an idea to fill that hole so that we can spread God's love even farther. There are prayer cards also. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please take part in our prayer ministry here. There is a group that meets weekly, and the clergy as well will be praying for whatever needs that you put on those cards, so thank you for that. We are finishing up the Follow Me series, but we have a little special thing today that we're going to do, and we're going to invite some folks up in just a minute. Bruce Stark and Tom Doan are here going to help us with worship, and I'm going to jump to the announcements. So coming up soon, June 12th and 13th is the rummage sale. A couple of things. Yeah, woohoo. Because of the crowding of the space and the folks who cannot move furniture, we do not accept furniture for the rummage sale. So if you have something in that, and furniture-wise, let somebody know, and we'll help you get arrangements with either Habitat for Humanity for their restore or somewhere else for that to go. But we are continuing to accept donations this week. Setup is starting on tomorrow, and we would love to have you there. The other area that we need help with the rummage sale is the pack-up at the end. And so anything that doesn't sell gets loaded into a truck and taken away by Purple Heart. So please, if you can help with loading a truck, please see us on Monday morning for that. Habitat for Humanity build is coming up, the first one this summer, June 20th. We usually send a good number of volunteers. It is an excellent way to get involved in helping the community. No construction experience required. No destruction experience required either. So that makes it safer just about all of us. I believe the cutoff is 16. You have to be 16 with a parent to come and be part of this, but bring the family. It is a great, great day of volunteering. And then today, you are in for a treat. If you didn't get one on your way in, I have to squeal. Lydia, Pastor John's daughter, came in while I was getting ready and said, "You need to go get a soda now." I said, "It's going to wait till between services." And then she told me how much I had to donate. It is donations only. The youth are selling these delicious treats to help fund their activities for this summer. And we know we want to support our youth. So stop by the table, check it out. There's a variety of flavors. And according to Lydia, raspberry is the one. I have one last announcement. You will see Angela Nisenga walking around the church today. She has a special guest with her. Her name is Blossom, and she is a therapy dog. There is an effort by the Friendly Links group here at the church to recruit some of our youth and younger members to be part of that visitor greeting ministry that they do. And so we're going to let you be greeted by Blossom this morning and see how wonderful a greeting can feel. Those are my announcements for this morning, and we're going to sing Gather Us In. Please rise as you are able.
Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. God of us all, thank you for the talents you have given each and every one of us. Help us to continue to be your hands and feet in this church community and beyond. May the Holy Spirit empower and inspire us to do your good work and spread your love. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, church. The church is the people. Amen?
Amen.
All right. You make this an active community, a fellowship of people who respond to the needs around us, that welcomes the stranger, clothes the naked, feeds the hungry, and visits the prisoner. We thank God for all the ways you contribute to this faith community.
We offer this blessing and celebration as a token of appreciation for all that you do to serve God and God's people. Please join us in this responsive litany. We are blessed by the teachers, leaders, and mentors who nurture the faith of children, youth, and adults. We are blessed by the musicians, liturgists, worship hosts, and tech teams who lift our spirits in praise and bring a richness to our worship. May God bless these volunteers.
We are blessed when we walk through the doors by greeters, ushers, and friendly links who offer the first smiles on a Sunday morning. We are blessed by hospitality teams that generously treat us to food and coffee. We are blessed by shepherds keeping watch while we worship.
May God bless these volunteers. We are blessed by the building team and gardeners who tend to these sacred spaces. We give thanks for the men with tools who give generously of their time and talents. We are blessed by the counters, the stewardship committee, who steward our resources with integrity.
May God bless these volunteers.
We are blessed by the congregational care team that visits the homebound and hospitalized. Their love fosters connection and healing. We are blessed by the missions, justice, and outreach volunteers who take the love of Christ beyond the church walls, feeding the hungry, visiting the lonely, and advocating for the marginalized.
May God bless these volunteers. We are blessed by the quilters, sewers, knitters, and crocheters who create beautiful prayer quilts, prayer shawls, welcome gifts, and menstrual health kits to remind others of God's love and compassion.
May God bless these volunteers.
We are blessed by the many people who serve on our leadership board, building and administrative task teams, who help in the office, who help put mailings together, who make sure our toilets are flushing and our boilers are boiling. We are blessed by teams of folks developing discipleship programs, fellowship events, and inspiring us forward.
May God bless these volunteers.
Amen.
Because you are the heart of this church community, we have a small gift for you. Please take one of these heart stone cards as you leave today. Thank you so very much for all of you and what you do for our church community.
During the offering time, we will have a short slideshow, and with the risk of missing someone, just be kind that if we missed you, I'm sorry. We tried to include everyone, but not have you here for a 30-minute slideshow. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Scripture readings this morning are from Jonah 1, 1 to 3, and Matthew 26, 69 to 75. In Jonah, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son Amittai, saying, 'Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." Matthew. "Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A female servant came to him and said, 'You also were with Jesus the Galilean.' But he denied it before all of them, saying, 'I do not know what you are talking about.' When he went out to the porch, another female servant saw him, and she said to the bystanders, 'This man was with Jesus the Nazarene.' Again he denied it with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, 'Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you.' Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, 'I do not know the man.' At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, 'Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tom, for reading our scripture. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us by name. Amen. Well, it's so good to be back with you. We were away last week at the Michigan Annual Conference with, I guess it was something like 1,300 or 1,400 other United Methodists from across the state of Michigan, and I appreciate Bruce for preaching and giving us an opportunity to be away. So thank you so much for giving us that gift. Rick Rykowski preached at our Whitmore Lake campus. And so we were able to go up and spend some time up at the Michigan Annual Conference, and we just appreciated being able to go there and be with other Methodists from across the state. So thank you for that gift. It was a wonderful time to see friends and colleagues and to talk about things that are germane to our time, to listen to our bishop, to hear a little bit of our United Methodist history, and we were blessed in that time. So thank you for that gift. And the other thing I wanted to share before we get into the message today is we are so thankful that there have been brand new air conditioning units installed through this sanctuary. But I also am aware that over the last couple of weeks, as we've dialed those in, some people have been sitting in hot zones, other people have been sitting in cold zones, and this has caused great duress throughout the land. And so I just want to let you know, we, the building management team, whom we just thanked together with that beautiful litany, thank you so much, Suzanne and Stephanie, for leading us through that. But I want to let you know, we are continuing to dial that system in. So if you're hot, as good Michiganders, I encourage you to move 15 inches over to the left, and you'll find yourself in a completely different climate. And if you're cold, move to the right or something like that, and maybe it'll be better. But in all seriousness, we're grateful for these new units. They're very powerful, and so some folks, you find yourself in a jet stream of cool air, and then a couple seats over, maybe it's not so bad. So I'm going to do something risky and encourage you, if you're uncomfortable in your seat, either let us know, that's great, or try sitting in a different spot of the sanctuary. I expect to be reappointed next week, so that was that, so... Anyway, God's grace abounds. As we continue this sermon series about God's calling in our lives, there's so many different ways that we can respond to the God calling our name and asking us to do something in the world, pushing us, extending us to do something different and new and innovative and exciting sometimes. And we told a bunch of stories over the last couple of weeks of people who said yes. Maybe they made excuses. Maybe they were anxious about saying yes. Maybe they had some trepidation. But eventually, whether it's Abraham or Moses or anybody else, you know, eventually the disciples, they dropped their nets and they followed Jesus. And they went wherever Jesus called them to go. And these stories are fascinating, right? Jonah was asked by God to go to a city called Nineveh. And if you don't know that much about Nineveh, and it's okay if you don't, it was actually a major city in Assyria, one of the conquering empires that came over and tried to take over the Israelites. And so Jonah would have some natural, understandable trepidation about going to this heinous and terrible town. If you don't know too much about the Assyrians, one thing that I can share with you about them is that they were ruthless. They were brutal. They were a military superpower in their day. And when they conquered some of these countries and these places, they were absolutely ruthless with how they treated the people that they conquered. So Jonah, hearing this call on his life to go to Nineveh, he's like, I don't know if I want to go. I'm not sure if I'm in for that. Like, those folks are truly evil. They're not right in the head. They're dangerous. They're vile. They're awful. I don't know if I want to go to Nineveh. And so, in fact, instead of going to Nineveh, he decides to gather up some coins and get on a ship that's thousands of miles away from Nineveh. He goes in the complete opposite direction of where God is calling him to go, which is one approach to answering God's call on your life. You can run for your life, trying to get away, trying to escape, trying to evade that calling on your life. And that's what Jonah decides to do. I find it interesting, if you continue to read the book of Jonah, it's only 4 chapters long. You probably can read through the entire story in about 30 minutes. But if you follow and you track that particular narrative, he gets on this boat. He's trying to escape. He's trying to go elsewhere. And sure enough, somewhere along the way, they encounter rough seas, and all of a sudden the captain of the ship, becoming aware that Jonah's trying to escape this calling on his life, he goes down and visits Jonah, and they're like, dude, we think you're the problem. You are the issue here. We're going to throw you over the boat. And that's what happens to Jonah. He gets pitched over the side of the boat. And sure enough, a big fish or a giant whale comes and swallows him up. And usually that's like where most of our understanding of this whole story resides, in this sort of amazing fish story of Jonah being swallowed up by the whale or the fish. And there he lives for 3 days and 3 nights until he's spat up back on shore. It's kind of a bizarre story at some levels. And yet the story goes on, and eventually Jonah sort of acquiesces to God's call on his life, but with a tremendous amount of reservation and trepidation. So he shows up and he walks up to Nineveh and he starts proclaiming that God's wrath will be upon them if they continue to engage in this violent and terrible way. And rather than, you know, rejecting him, like most of the prophets through the Old Testament, they're just ignored or rejected or sometimes subjected to being outcasted outside of society. Everybody in Nineveh just goes, you know what, Jonah? You're right. We were wrong. We shouldn't treat people this way. We repent. And I'm just finding myself like, imagine that, a prophet walking into a town and saying, you ought to treat people with respect, and everyone just going, that's a great idea. I think we'll try that on for size. So sure enough, this is what happens. They repent, and Jonah, rather than being like, I did my job, good job, I'm going to pat myself on the back, he goes and he pouts about it. And this is actually probably the most important part of Jonah's story. We probably miss it in the fantastical narrative of him going in the opposite direction of God's calling and then getting swallowed up by a whale. But I actually think probably the most fantastic part of Jonah's story is that as a prophet of God, going to this community, telling them what they need to do, and them just going, okay, sounds good, he pouts about it. And what's fascinating to me about that part of the story is he's disappointed that even the Ninevites, even the Assyrians, are people that God cares about. He was so angry about the past transgressions of these people. Perhaps he was afraid a little bit of them as well. He refused to go in their direction. But finally, when he acquiesces to God's call, and he goes and he sees the humanity in them, the humbleness of their willingness to repent and admit that they were doing something wrong, he sort of goes, I'm just going to pout about this. So he goes and sits down in the middle of this place, and God actually grows up a plant and then kills the plant, which is weird. That's a weird part of the story that I'm still processing a little bit. But suffice it to say, Jonah's sitting there, and he's pouting, and he's angry about the fact that God has the audacity to care about these terrible people. I want to let you know that this is well before Paul makes an argument to Peter about the Gentiles. This is hundreds of years before a debate about who is included in God's covenant with humanity. This is a story that takes place hundreds of years before any of those arguments take place, and yet there's this profound story that stands in stark contrast to all of the other prophetic work in the Old Testament. Because for the most part, the prophets just run around town telling people that God will be upset if they don't change their ways and change their behaviors and start acting right. That's what most of the Old Testament is filled with in the book of the prophets. And this weird story is like Jonah actually goes to prophesy to people that he doesn't think will listen, and they all go, "You're right." And then he gets mad about it. And to me, this story is a reminder, at least for me, about the ways that sometimes religious people can be incredibly judgmental about other folks. And it's easy for us to cast them aside and say, maybe God will deal with them, but I don't want to have any responsibility for them or their choices, and they're over there, they're way over there. They couldn't possibly be a part of God's beloved people. God made a promise to us, to me, to people who look like me or sound like me or talk like me. And this particular story is a reminder that even way back, nearly 3,000 years ago, God was concerned about one of the most vile and dangerous and violent civilizations known to mankind. So much so that God looked at Jonah and said, "I want you to go there." And he's like, "Who, me? No, I would rather die." He actually says that multiple times in the story of Jonah. "I would rather die than go to that place. It's dangerous there. Those people aren't friendly. They've been terrible to us. Why would I go there?" I was getting my office ready to be painted in a continuation of our Capitol campaign. You may have noticed a couple of spaces around the church have been painted. Maybe you feel especially friendly today. Perhaps that's the paint fumes that are wafting through the space. Who knows? But needless to say, I was moving all this stuff out of my office. And one of the things that I realized is that I had kept every single binder with every single note that I had ever taken in seminary. I'd like to also share with you that I have not looked in those binders once since graduating from seminary. And so yesterday, as I was cleaning all these things out, I decided yesterday was going to be the day that I recycled $100,000 worth of notes. And I took them out to the dumpster and put them out there in the dumpster, recycling them. But before I did that, I looked through them once just so I could get my money's worth. And I thumbed through a couple of things, and I came across this binder that I had created when I was at Garrett. And it was this dream that I had, this calling that God had placed on my life to start a coffee shop. And I had even drawn pictures of people and like what outfits we might wear in our Christian coffee shop. And I had this whole vision of what it would look like and what the small group meeting space would look like. And the coffee shop was going to send mission teams out to the world to see where the coffee was grown and to talk to the farmers. And it was this whole intricate plan that I had for my life. It's funny sometimes when we plan our own lives out, how God takes us and gets us to where God wants us to be. In the story of Peter steadfastly denies that there's any possibility he would ever reject knowing Jesus while he's sitting at the table with Jesus. But then after Jesus was crucified and after he's, you know, killed on the cross, people come up to Peter and they're like, "We know we've seen you with him before. We know you've associated with him. You sound like him. You act like him. Your voice reflects that you've been in relationship with him." And Peter denies having ever known Jesus. This is another way that sometimes we respond to God's call in our life. When God's nudging us and pushing us and asking us to do something, we're like, "I never knew the man." That sounds risky and dangerous, and I don't know where it might lead me. I'm not sure if I'm up for that task. As we wrap up this sermon series about calling, as we wrestle with what God might be calling us to do in the world and where God might be pushing us, even this morning as we are gathered in the family room before the service to pray, I said we were preaching about Jonah, and somebody said, "Oh, that's my story. I've been running from God, or I've been delaying my calling, and I'm here to tell you, so did I. I was anxious and afraid. Maybe you are too, and maybe you're like Jonah, sort of arms folded, like, I don't know if I want to go there. In fact, I'd rather get on a ship to go somewhere else. The reality is, every once in a while when we are obedient to God's call in our life, when we say yes, when we show up with wherever God is calling us to go, it leads to some of the most incredible adventures imaginable. I don't even drink coffee, and for some reason I thought that I was called to run a Christian coffee shop. This is a perfect demonstration of just how far off our understandings of our own callings can be, and where God might be asking us to go. I wonder where you're feeling called these days. I wonder if it's to a new place that feels risky, or you haven't ever done that before, and you feel afraid to follow in God's footsteps. What I can promise you is this, that if God's a part of it, it's going to be okay. In fact, it might even be better than you imagined. If God's a part of it, it will work out. God will go with you, before you, underneath you, alongside you. God will be able to guide you through the most difficult moments of it. I can guarantee it won't be easy, because anytime God gets involved, it usually involves something that's bigger than ourselves. We have to rely on God's assistance or backup or support to get us through the thing that we're going through. I don't know if I take this story literally. I don't know if I believe that Jonah was literally in a whale for 3 days. There are stories of orcas that deliver people to islands, just like this story suggests. There are dolphins that do the same. Maybe he was delirious. But I do believe that God wanted him to go to Nineveh. And I do believe that if God wants you to go somewhere, that God's going to send whales or fish or orcas or dolphins or whatever the case may be to help you get there. God might also send captains that call you out for running away from what God's calling you to do in your life. God might send somebody to say, maybe you ought to try this. Keep going. Don't give up. You know who you are. And that's what I want to do for you today. If you're running from your calling, I hope you'll pause. I hope that you'll allow creation to deliver you to wherever you're supposed to be going. I can promise you it'll be the ride of a life. And then this, in a world where it's so easy to look at places like Nineveh and call that another place, somewhere far out where other people exist, where people are vile and disgusting, and we don't want to associate ourselves with them because they're unclean or unrighteous or far beyond the grace of God, I can promise you that God has been working in those places from long before we ever came into existence. God loves those people. There isn't a person born anywhere on this earth that God doesn't already love, and I'm thankful for that, because there are times that I need that kind of grace too. And out of humility, I embrace the fact that God loves them, so it's possible for God to love me as well. As you go out into this world, I pray that you just be reminded that everyone is created in the beautiful image of God, that we're all God bearers. We all carry a divine spark of creativity, even the Ninevites. And so if God's calling you to serve in a place that feels dangerous or makes you anxious because people are different than you are, oh man, I hope you go. And I hope you love those people with your whole hearts, because I'm guessing you're going to get more out of it than they do. I'm grateful for the call that God placed on Jonah's heart. And I'm grateful for Jonah saying yes. And I'm grateful for the fact that some of you are still sitting here, because I can see sweat on your brow and I'm like, we haven't quite dialed in our air conditioning units yet. Thank you for going where God calls you to go and answering God's call on your life and saying, yes, I know Jesus and I'm proud of it, even when it can cost you everything to do so. Thanks be to God. Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. As we begin our prayer time today, I want to call your attention to the beautiful prayer quotes we have on the wall. They are for Samantha and for Cindy. And on your way out of the church, I want you to stop at the table, tie a knot, say a prayer, sign the card, and let Samantha and Cindy know that we're keeping them in the warmth of the quilt as well as the warmth of our prayers. Now, if you would join me in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and glorious God, we come before you this morning humble, but anxious and eager to learn all the things you have in store for us at this time. We wait in eager anticipation of all the wonderful things we have coming into our lives as we try to put our hardships behind us. We know that through you and the Holy Spirit, our lives are touched as they can be touched by no other, to give us peace, to give us hope, and to give us reassurance that you are there for us, helping us, leading us, guiding us to find a better way. Slow us down, Lord, so that we may open our ears to that small voice that we miss so many times, rushing around in our day-to-day lives. We listen for your word that we may share that word with others and be with them at their time of need. We open our eyes that we may see all the wonders of the universe that you created for us, that we may experience all that life has to offer and all that you have to give, especially as we enjoy the changing of the seasons. We open our hearts that we may be there for others that are in need of your love and to do your work so that they may feel your love through us and know that you are there. Lord, we ask blessings on all those in need of you at this time, suffering from physical ailments, mental disorders, financial problems, relationship problems, and those that are just out there looking, seeking, wondering, waiting, not sure what their next step might be, not sure where they are headed, and not sure which way to turn. We want to guide them that the next step that they take may be blessed by you and to a life full of your blessings. We pray for our prayer quilt recipients, Samantha and Cindy, and pray that as they wrap themselves in the warmth of the quilts, they feel the warmth and the love and the prayers of this congregation, as well as your love, as they face the struggles they face ahead. We also ask prayers for the people that need you the most, those that don't know yet that they need you. Help us to help them find their way, to know your love, and to know that you are with us every step of the way, to know that even when things seem at their worst, we can turn to you and know that you are there. We pray for our leaders, Lord, the world leaders, the national, the state, and the local leaders, that the decisions they make in this world are tempered with your love, guided by your hand, and blessed by your word. Help them to see clear so the decisions they make today may be the best for all of us. Bless us, Lord, that we may find the best you have in store for us, and that we can turn that around and do the best we can to honor and praise you, to love those around us as you show love for us. Help us to show that same love to them, helping us to make the world whole and honor you as we do. Now in this time of silent prayer and meditation, we ask for your ear to hear our concerns, our thoughts, and ask your blessings on our problems, as well as to hear our praises of you for all the glorious things that you have provided for us in our lives. When the disciples asked Jesus, "How should we pray?" he said, "Pray like this." And now we repeat the prayer that he taught the disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." And don't forget, God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it.
Forsaken, I was shattered by the fall. Broken and forgotten, feeling lost and all alone. Summoned by the King into the Master's courts. Lifted by the Savior and cradled in his arms.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to the choir. What a beautiful piece for us to receive together. And so we gather around this table, a table where sometimes we may not feel worthy to be seated in the presence of God at Jesus' feet, and yet we are. We're invited to this table, and one of the great things about the United Methodist tradition is you don't have to be a member of this or any other church to receive these elements of grace. All you have to have is a desire to know and love God personally, and you are welcome at this table to feast at God's heavenly banquet. And so we remember 2,000 years ago when Jesus gathered around a table with his friends, the disciples, and he lifted a loaf of bread before them and he said, "Take and eat this as often as you can in remembrance of me. This is my body which has been broken for you. Take it and eat it." And when the supper was over, he lifted a cup before his friends, the disciples, and others who may have been present in that space, and he said, "This is my blood which has been poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Take it and drink it as often as you can in remembrance of me." And so we gather around this table remembering that Peter, Judas, James, and John were gathered there as well. People with deep questions about the faith, people who wondered what the next steps might be, people just like us, people like you and I, are gathered around this table, and we say, "Come, Holy Spirit, transform these elements, this bread and this juice, make it be for us something extraordinary, an opportunity to remember God's call on our life. May it be a reminder that no matter where we go, God goes with us. May it strengthen us for the way and the work ahead of us. Come, Holy Spirit, and transform these gifts. Make them be something extraordinary. And transform us as well. If we feel like we're stuck in the belly of a whale, we don't know where to go, may this food be nourishment for our journey and a reminder of God's call in our life. Amen." And so we come to this table, sometimes being carried, sometimes kicking and screaming, sometimes worried or anxious or afraid, and yet this table sustains and nourishes us. We come to this table together, not alone. This table unites us as the body of Christ. And so in just a moment, our ushers are going to dismiss folks to come up by the diagonal aisles, and you'll have an opportunity to take a piece of bread and a cup and receive these elements of grace. There are garbage baskets in the center aisle, so we invite you to gently set the glass cups back into those garbage baskets on your way back, and we will recycle and reuse them again next time. All has been made ready. Will you please come and feast at God's heavenly banquet? With those who are assisting in communion, please come forward to assist in this time.
As we move into our time of offering, we are going to be seeing a video of all of our volunteers. I hope you see your smiling face up there. We hope to see all your smiling faces up there. It is because of all of our volunteers and the generosity that you all continue to share with us week after week that we have the ability to do the outreach, the ministry, the caring, and the sharing that we do through this church. And so thank you. Would the ushers please come forward?
Lord of all, we thank and praise you for leading us through this often challenging life. In our gratitude, we bring these offerings. Bless them and use them to make a place where others will learn to follow you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, as we conclude this service, I just want to add one more word of thanks to all of you who have given any of your time, talent, resources. We're grateful for all the ways in which you serve. Thank you for being a gift to this congregation. On the way out, there is a gift for each and every one of you, so I hope that you'll pick one up as you depart from the sanctuary this day. As you go forth, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.